And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad to have you joining us today. Yet another exciting way to kick off a day here on Weather and Ag in Focus. And that includes having with me a guest host, no less. And she's a returning guest host, and she has been fantastic at helping out in the past. I always like to think of our segments together as, why does a farmer do that? Because we talk a lot about things that folks see happening and just wonder what is going on. And so I want to introduce Naomi Ori. She is a great friend and fan, and I know her through Twitter. And Naomi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
Fabulous. Oh, so fun to have you with me today. Thank you for agreeing to do this. I was probably one of your treasured days off.
Yes, ma'am. It worked out perfectly. So I'm glad that I could do this. It's an honor. So,
well, so you're also a little bit of a weather hound, if you will. You like following the weather and so forth. So this is maybe right up your alley.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. This is great. I love doing this. So, and winter is probably one of my favorite seasons right now. And I'm pretty, you know, I probably annoy people with that, but I like this time of year. So I'm really, really happy about that.
I don't think it's annoying whatsoever. And okay, you grew up in the region, right? So give maybe just a smidge of background about yourself.
Yeah. So my hometown is Ada, Minnesota, which is about 45 minutes north of the Fargo-Moorhead area. So in Norman County, I did move away for a little bit, moved to the Twin Cities about 20 years ago, and I moved back in 2015. I just loved the area, and it was just hard for me to stay away. And, you know, coming back, it's just been, it's great. I love the Red River Valley. So,
so I like following what you say on social media about, you know, hey, I'm out and I'm seeing this when it comes to especially summer weather patterns. Do you intentionally go follow a storm track, or do you just kind of find yourself in them during your travels?
Well, I kind of plan it a little bit. Now, I'm kind of weird with this, so bear with me. But usually like a couple days before a severe weather event, I kind of look at the, you know, pay attention to the local meteorologist like Dean. You know, of course, he's the expert. I kind of look at that info. And then if there is a storm close by, maybe like 20, 30 miles, I'll kind of go out there and look at it. I usually do storm chasing for the effect of photography. Photography, big storms and stuff. Now, I'm not one of those people, the storm chasers, that, you know, spend 6 weeks on the road going down to Oklahoma and getting like the big tornadoes. That's something I don't want to do. but just something in the backyard I can handle pretty much. So,
so is there a storm or a chase, if you will, that really sticks out of one that you kind of went to go find?
Oh my goodness. I think there was an event in 2017, and it was a very big, significant weather day, and they were talking about tornadoes hitting close to here, but long story short, it didn't. But I did capture really good photography of that storm just north of Fargo, like Argusville area, and maybe at some point I'll send you a picture of it, but to me, it was just very, very surreal to see the power of that storm cell and how much it traveled at that point. I think it traveled like 50 miles with that. And it was so hot that day. And I just had to take a picture of it. And on the way back home, it was just like heavy rain and a little bit of hail. I thought I wasn't going to make it home, but eventually I did. But I think that was one of my favorite memories of doing that.
I love that idea because anytime storms stick out to me, they were unexpected. Like you said, I wasn't chasing them down in another state, et cetera. And I wonder if it was the same summer in 2017, as you mentioned, or maybe it was even a little more recent. There was a late afternoon powerful storm coming in. And I just remember us thinking, maybe we're a little too much in the path. we should get out of here. And so I remember just taking off and heading out of town.
And sometimes too, you know, I don't go out when it's dangerous too. I don't do that either. Like, I'll watch it, and then if I feel comfortable going out, I will. But if it's a very dangerous event, of course I'm going to stay home, be sheltered, stuff like that. So I kind of, you know, I kind of look at that too. You know, safety first, nonetheless, but it's a passion of mine, and I've been wanting to do this for a long time, you know, like weather and stuff. It's just been a passion of mine for a long time.
I really like that you have these passions and want to get things done. That sounds awesome. And, you know, when I think about the traditional Midwestern storms, when they happen, do you also just go stand on the front porch and watch like everybody else instead of taking shelter like we're told to do?
Oh, yeah. I did that as a kid, too, you know. And, you know, it's just like Mother Nature is just so beautiful and empowering and dangerous and threatening at the same time. And it's just amazing what the earth can do with that. And and me living up here, too, we get all four seasons. I like that. I couldn't live in an area where it's only one season for 12 months. I get bored easily. So it's just really nice to get all four seasons around here for sure. Okay.
I travel, and I know you travel a fair amount as well. When I see palm trees wrapped in Christmas lights, that's just not the same as a snow-covered evergreen wrapped in Christmas lights for me.
Girl, you understand. Dan, yes. I mean, I love a good palm tree when I'm on vacation, but I just can't see myself, you know, being in Florida or whatever during Christmas. I'm used to having, you know, the white Christmas or cold during Christmas. And when it's like 80 degrees on Christmas, that's kind of, I'm not a fan of that. I'm sorry, people. Just calling it like it is.
Speaking, it's okay, because speaking of those palm trees, well, I have a deal for you, and that is, we're going to come back in here in our second segment. We're going to take a qualifier for our Vegas vacation trip. Now, I'm not sure if you know the details about this, Naomi, and maybe you're going to want to hang up so you can call in.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I want the other listeners to win. I'm good.
Okay. So here's the deal. January 25th is a show. The Eagles are playing at the Sphere in Las Vegas. WDAY is giving away a round trip airfare for two. We will give away two concert tickets, a hotel stay, and $500 spending cash. Whole package is valued at $5,000. We've got a couple of folks that want to be sponsors for this, and that would be American Security and Gate. They are wanting to make sure that you go and enjoy this. Now, there's a couple ways for people to qualify. One is going to be with us in just a few minutes. And we're going to have a sounder play when we come back from our commercials. So hold on, everybody. No need to dial yet. Also, tomorrow, there is a qualifying stop in West Fargo. And I have to look at where that qualifying stop is at. It'll be at El Gave from 4 to 6. Am I at the right place? Nope, tomorrow's the 18th. Never mind, we already had the El Gave. Tomorrow from 4 to 6 will be the Top Shelf Tavern. Naomi, have you been to the Top Shelf Tavern?
I have not, but I've been wanting to go.
Well, it's going to be your time. So the Top Shelf Tavern tomorrow from 4 to 6, maybe you want to swing by there. Now, for everybody else, just hang on. Don't be dialing yet. But when you hear the sounder for the Vegas vacation, Naomi, what color number are we going to want to when we hear the sounder? You get to pick.
I'm going to say number 8.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so everybody hang on. Keep your dialing fingers ready. So once you get the chance to hear our sounder, you're going to be caller number 8 to qualify for the Vegas vacation. And I have a feeling phone lines are already ringing. People must be really excited to take this Vegas vacation. What do you think, Naomi?
I think so. Vegas is one of my favorite cities to visit. So they're going to have a good time, I think.
All right. So we'll be back. Listen for the sounder. Again, you're going to be caller number 8. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Oh, the dialing has begun. People heard that sounder and they really want to be a part of this Vegas vacation, Naomi. Plus, we have a giveaway party on the night of January the 8th. It'll be at Kingpin's. Even if you're not qualified, Naomi, why don't you stop by to say hi and meet the qualifiers? You're pretty much a host already.
Well, honored to do this. So I might have to do that tomorrow after work.
Well, Addison is working diligently behind the scenes for us. He's going to find out who caller number 8 is, and then he's going to let me know so we can announce it on air. And then also, just wanted to remind folks that if you don't qualify today, tomorrow you can be at Top Shelf and you can get qualified from 4 to 6. And then, Naomi, I've already had messages from your super fans. I've had people who said, oh, Naomi's on today. Yay. So you've got your own following who likes to see what's going on here. Nice, huh?
Well, apparently people love my boring life, so I'm honored again. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
You and me, boring life, right there together, kid. Don't worry.
Yes. Now. Yes, ma'am, for sure.
Have you seen the weather for tomorrow, some of the road reports and so forth?
Yes. So even last night, I know that we're supposed to get probably an Alberta Clipper coming in. And again, this is December. It's this time of year. I'm not surprised about that. I'm going to go with my very unprofessional guess for Fargo. We're
going to
get probably 4 inches. I'm going to say 4.3 inches to be exact.
Oh, I'm writing it down. So tomorrow, 4.3 inches. I'm going to keep that in mind to see if that's what we get. Now, there is a 30% chance that the Devil's Lake Basin is going to get 6 inches of snow or more. More. Goodness, that's a lot.
Yes, it is. Thank God I'm not up there. I'm sorry. Love you, Devil's Lake, but you can deal with that. So
they're going to have to. And they've been building ice with the cold weather that we've had. There's probably about 10 inches of ice. So this is going to act as a bit of an insulator. I know not all ice fishermen want to hear that. But if they got 6 inches of snow, that's quite a bit. So let's just see where it lands and how they do. But in other words, keep an eye out on the roads when you are traveling. And Naomi, you travel quite a bit. What do you got in your winter survival kit? I hope you got one, right?
Oh, I don't have a whole lot yet, but I know I got an extra coat. I got blankets. I got also jumper cables just in case of that. And I always make sure to people that you fill up your car at least a half a tank. Don't go below that. My dad always preached me to that, like, don't go below half tank. So that's one reminder for sure in the winter. And, you know, before you leave, check the weather. I mean, it can change in an instant, especially up here in the winter. So, and also drive for the conditions. I cannot stress enough. Drive for the conditions. Just because it looks dry doesn't mean you have to be 70 miles an hour on the interstate. And I saw a lot of that last week with blast system, and that's really, really terrifying. But I'm not trying to be a mama hen, but just be careful out where you're going to be. So
you are so right. Even all of us who are the hardened North Dakotans, Minnesotans like you and I, we've been here a long time. I'm okay with driving a lot slower these days and taking it safe. And by the way, I got a winner for the Vegas vacation. He fought valiantly in the phone dialing wars. And Anthony from Fargo is our qualifier. So congratulations, Anthony. Yeah, happy to have him joining us. I did want to make mention, if you are listening and you want to talk with Naomi and I, because we haven't even gotten to the fun part of her conversation yet, but if you do, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Maybe you want to stop by Red Wing, take a look at what they have for winter boots in case you need to add those to your winter survival kit, just as Naomi was advising. And I'm keeping a close eye on email. If there's something that strikes your fancy that you want to visit about and you're shy about calling, you can reach me, ag@flagfamily.com. So, Naomi, next up that I wanted to ask about from you, we said we'd just answer questions. Do you got one to kick us off? What should we start with?
Well, I know we talked last week about, you shared a podcast about 2 egg professionals about buzzwords and their buzzwords. And it was really interesting to hear that. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. And they just kind of listed off some buzzwords to them that they hear all the time. I know one of them was like sustainability. And sorry, I'm looking down. Mm-hmm. I wrote it on a piece of paper.
Go ahead. I take notes like a maniac through this show.
My friends make fun of me for my note taking, but I'm like, that is just a part of me. So bear with me.
It's all good. All good.
They said carbon, regenerative mm-hmm. agriculture. Not mm-hmm. sure what that kind of means, but and then also okay. they said organic was a buzzword, and I can kind of mm-hmm. see that too. But I feel like it's said this too with organic, it's becoming more, you see it more popular, like in the grocery stores and stuff.
Sure.
They were just talking about certain buzzwords, and I think just after listening to that podcast, there's buzzwords in every conversation that you're in. And yeah, there's some buzzwords that kind of, you know, make you annoyed, but language and English and all that just kind of, it's very fluid, so.
Well, how about we start with one here before our bottom of the hour news, and if I get to pick, I'm going to pick organic, because some folks in ag are going to say organic is a dirty word, right? We shouldn't talk about that in conventional agriculture, but I don't think that's the way we should approach it. So let's go back 100 years. For the most part, things were mostly organic. I mean, we're talking about the 1920s. We were just really starting to learn what we could do for fertilizer. We didn't really know before that. We had a little bit of an idea that if we had plant matter that created organic matter, that was good for the soil. But we started realizing that there could maybe be some synthetic compounds that could be used as well to boost our yield on our crops. One of the very first fertilizers, probably more organic than you want it to be, it was bat guano, poop. That's what folks were using. They were literally mining it and bringing out to other areas to use on fields. Then we got into a real chemistry phase, and we had a lot of major manufacturers across the globe that were learning better things about chemistry. And what they were able to do is to find compounds that were selective. They could kill weeds, but not harm other species, or maybe they controlled a bug, but not something else. Now, there were missteps on the way. Some products weren't maybe as well researched, and they were more broad spectrumed, and they did more damage than they did good. We've eliminated so many of that from our daily lives. If the best way I can explain organic to folks, it has a great fit. Organic can mean many different things to many people. There's a variance if it's in livestock or if it's in a crop. When folks hear the word organic, they often think there is nothing synthetic used, no synthetic fertilizer, no synthetic pesticides. But the reality is there are synthetic pesticides that are manufactured but are considered organic because of the way in which they're built. So there can be some organic uses that, or excuse me, some pesticides, if you will, or biostimulants, biopesticides that get used in organic. It's always best to do your research and know what it might be. If we were strictly organic, if we used no synthetic fertilizer, if we only use, say, like chicken manure, and if we used no synthetic herbicides, globally, we would be able to harvest about 60% of what we raise. That would mean a 40% reduction in what we have for food. Now, for Naomi, for you and me, we live in a great country with a wonderful abundance at the grocery stores. Might not affect us as much as some areas, but we know that there's a place for both organic and conventional agriculture. It's just a matter of supply and demand. And right now, we have more demand than we have the supply of just an organic product. Does that help?
Help.
Oh, we might have had... Oh, there she is.
That makes much
sense. Awesome.
Oh,
Naomi,
can you guys hear me?
Naomi froze there for just a sec. It's okay. We're going to fix that with you, Naomi. But this is a perfect time for us to go catch our bottom of the hour news. And then we're going to keep talking because Naomi had more questions about sustainability and carbon capture. And again, if folks have other comments and questions and they want to add to the conversation, they can do so by reaching us at 701-293-9000. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where I get my special guest co-host today, and that's Naomi Orion. Naomi, it is so much fun to have you with us. And do not be upset the fact that your video froze up. That frankly happens to me all the time. And poor Addison is just used to a running fire drill of whatever might happen when we're all working remotely.
No, I am so sorry for the inconvenience, and I appreciate you two being so flexible and patient with me. So thank you.
We came to have this hour together and to have fun and to educate. That's all we came here to do, and we're going to do all that. So I'm not worried in the least. So,
okay. Good.
When I listened to your list of buzzwords, and you mentioned one that was called carbon capture, and I think that was the one that you said, I'm not really clear on what that means. Or was it regenerative ag? Which one do you want me to go to?
The regenerative ag is the one that kind of confused me a little bit. So if you wanted to talk more about that, that would be great.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And don't forget to stop and ask me more questions in case I'm just kind of rambling on with anything. I'm happy to do that. So
I appreciate that, right. Yes.
Here's my take on regenerative ag. And I have no doubt that we've got listeners, especially those who farm, who may have other thoughts that they want to add to me as well. When I think of regenerative ag, I think about it being full cycle. Okay. So let's go back to probably the way our grandparents farmed. And that was they had the full circle of a crop that provided feed for the livestock and for people. That crop also left plant material and organic matter for the field. Then through the livestock, they were able to take the manure and they were able to put it back on the field, and they were able to make sure that the cycle continued, right? So that the livestock helped to feed the crop, which helped to feed the livestock. When I think, and I'm just really simplifying it. When I think about regenerative ag, I think about the fact that we want to make sure that what we are doing is sustainable. Leads us to another buzzword, something that we can keep doing, that we're not going to run out of the resources that it might lead to. Now, we have a caller. Larry is on the line. And Naomi, let's see if you and I can answer his question. So, Larry, go ahead.
Yes, you had mentioned that Naomi was going to be on, but it's interesting because I'm an older person and we've had a variety of things on our farm. And anyhow, all I was going to do is wish you guys a Merry Christmas and thanks for the ride around Big Iron. And welcome aboard Naomi.
Oh, my God. Hi, Larry. It's nice to hear from you. I remember you.
Yeah, and I really think there's so many retired farmers or what you're talking about that are on our honor flight, and I believe Bridget should put her 2 cents worth and get on the honor flight and discuss some of this stuff with the older retired ag boys. So thank you much, Bridget and Naomi. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Larry. Yes. Yeah, so Naomi and I do know Larry. She's not only been a guest co-host for me, she met us out at Big Iron and came on air with us there. And then we swiped one of the WDA golf carts and took a little drive around to look at equipment. And Larry rode with us. And we had a great time looking at farm equipment and just sharing stories. And fun fact, Naomi, one thing that Larry mentions is talking about military involvement, especially a lot of retired farmers or farm boys and farm women went off to the military growing up. 44% of U.S. military is made up from folks from rural areas and farms. Not sure if you knew that stat or not.
Interesting. I had no idea. That's really cool.
Oh, it's, you know, and when he mentioned the honor flight, I think the stories that I could hear from those folks who one day were helping throw hay bales and the next day were on a train to a training center, whether they were getting ready for Korea or Vietnam or others, I think that would have been just impressive to hear this, to hear the stories. And I don't know if the honor flight's in my future, but it begs the question, Naomi, if you got the chance to go and be a chaperone and accompany these folks, would you go?
100%. Yes, that would be, again, an honor to do that. Hopefully one day. You know, my dad's a veteran, and I have a big heart for veterans from all over. So I appreciate everyone in their service for doing that. But yes, I would definitely love to chaperone something like that in my life.
So one of the things that brings to mind with Larry's call is when Naomi and I were out taking a look at some farm equipment, we saw some very unique items. And Naomi, I'm just going to ask you to have a little memory recall for me. What was maybe one of the most unusual things you remember us seeing on our tour that day?
Well, I remember for sure. I think I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation of this, but the Steiger tractors.
It was Steiger, the lime green tractors.
Yes, so I was like amazed with that, and just all the farm equipment out there for Big Iron. I mean, I'm already excited for next year's event. You know, I will be there, and hopefully it'll be less windy compared to what it was in September. So, it was a doozy out there, let me tell you. But no, it was just a lot to see, very educational, and I recommend to anybody like me who's not familiar with the egg farm industry, just to check it out. I mean, you do learn a lot, and you meet great people, and they will definitely, you know, tell you about their equipment that they're selling or, you know, whatnot. But yeah, it was very, very fun. And then just like the combine equipment, I mean, it was just endless things, and I could spend 2 days out there for sure. And I'm going to do that next year for sure. So,
so I do have a question for you based off of that. After being at Big Iron, after looking at farm equipment, do you drive down the road now and have a little better understanding of what operation might be going on in the field at that particular day and time?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I understand a little bit more, especially, you know, during the harvest season and, you know, just seeing all those hardworking people out there. And I appreciate every one of them. And, you know, and I know it can be very stressful and challenging. I mean, those are just two words I can think of for that kind of job. But yeah, when you see the combine down the road or whatnot, I mean, I say thank you, farmers, and what they do. And, you know, even from the beet trucks, too. I mean, I appreciate what they all do. So.
And it's a big part of our industry up here. You know, one of the questions that I have had as of late that I didn't pose to you, but I've had some folks ask, you know, what do farmers do this time of year? So I'm going to ask you, Naomi, take a stab at that. What do you think farmers are up to right now when we're in December at the close of the year?
Well, hopefully they're having a big cup of hot chocolate while watching the snowfall. I hope they're doing that. And having a self-care day. Let's be honest about that. But I think, too, that they're kind of prepping a little bit for spring. You know, spring is just around the corner. You know, that's kind of one day closer to spring. So I'm assuming that they're prepping for, you know, spring, you know, what products they need to get, what equipment they need to tune up. Am I kind of going the right route with that? Or
boy, you really are. So when we were together at Big Iron, which for those who may not remember, that was held in September, not long after Labor Day, folks were already making plans of what they're going to buy for seed for 2025. So decisions were being made. There were already cash discounts to buy early, et cetera. And a lot of that focuses on corn and soybeans. Now, you're exactly right. Harvest completed somewhat early this year because we didn't have to fight through a lot of mud or anything like that. So farmers are doing a lot of repairs. When you hear me talk about parts availability, trade-ins, just like if you were trading a car, if you're trading equipment, checking over your equipment so you can go in to make sure you have the right new nozzles on your sprayer. Maybe you're changing out the shovels on a piece of tillage equipment. You might be improving some things on your planter. This is a time to bring equipment into the shop. And I know that I've heard others mention, and I've seen some pretty big farm shops, but I hear people who make mention of, well, why does a farmer need a shop that big? after mm-hmm. seeing the equipment we saw at Big Iron, does it make a little more sense how big that stuff is to work on, Naomi?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. Yes. So I totally understand now, the more that I've been out to Big Iron and seeing all those in person, for sure. So,
and, you know, it's not just being able to pull it into the shop, but there's also that need. Perhaps you've got to open up the whole planter and, you know, spread the whole machine apart so you can get into it, and you got to be able to walk around it. And it's nice to work inside whenever possible. As a college student, I remember having to do a repair or two on a car, and in a cold, unheated apartment garage or just out in a parking lot was not pleasant. So you're right. Having a shop right now is a good time to get inside and get those things done. Also, just like anyone else, farmers are preparing for the end of the year tax season. All of us are getting our property taxes, everything in order for upcoming filing dates. And so this is a big part of the paperwork time of year for folks to get done, because let's face it, if you're in a combine, most of the day you're probably not paying attention to your paperwork as much, just thinking about it.
I could think so too. Now, that's kind of another question that just randomly popped in my head. Now, is there mm-hmm. certain forms, if you're in the farm and ag industry, that is required for tax purposes? Is there extra paperwork to go along with that they have to bring to the tax preparer and all that?
That is a great question. So I'm not going to be perfect at this because I'm not a tax preparer. And in fact, I employ one. So if anything happens where I got to go downhill with the IRS, they're going with me. But the reality
okay,
is...
Okay, I got you.
You know, farmers are working on a lot bigger inventory list, especially if you have farm equipment as well as livestock. And so you're going to need a lot more forms. Often you can see farmers filing extensions to get all of those things done. You have to get all your deductions in line. So you've got to have paperwork that backs that up as well. And when you asked, are there additional forms? I think it's safe to say that it's not a 1040 EZ like we used to be able to do when we were in college. No, you're right. It's a much more expanded version with a lot more detail to it. And speaking of details, well, we're going to follow up on some of those when we return. I get to have a continued great and fun conversation with Naomi Ori. She is a super fan and a lot of fun from Twitter. I hope you all are following her, but don't go anywhere. You're going to want to follow along for the last little bit of our discussion today. Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. And I guess we're having casual Friday on a Tuesday because my wonderful guest co-host today, Naomi, and I are just visiting about things that, why do farmers do that? But I've got great news, Naomi. Are you ready for it?
Oh, I'm ready, friend. Let's hear it.
All right. So tomorrow's Weather and Ag in Focus. Now, maybe you can't listen during the show because you're at work, and I understand that. But again, we do live stream this on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV, so you can always go back and watch, or you can listen to the audio as a podcast right off our website. But tomorrow, I gave Dean Wysocki some homework. Let's see how he does. I asked that we go through the weather calendar. Normally, we do that on our weather special, which happened right before Thanksgiving. And we do that where we go week by week about what's going to be happening for major and potential storms throughout the winter months. Well, we weren't able to give an accurate list of those prior to Thanksgiving because the cycle for the LRC wasn't quite set yet. But tomorrow's our day. And I don't know about you, Naomi, but I literally sit there with a calendar and mark down when things are going to be good or not.
Oh, I'm starting to do the same. With my job, I kind of know what my schedule is ahead, at least 6 months out of the 6 months, you know, over time. So I kind of plan, mm-hmm. pre-plan what I want to do for like trips and stuff like that. And my birthday is around the end of winter. So I really, really am looking forward to hear what's going to go on around the first week in March. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that.
That is fantastic. And yes, so mark that down for tomorrow. Let's see how Dean does on his homework that I gave him. And when you said the first week of March, that's actually going to be important for me. That is when Commodity Classic will be held in Denver this year. It is the largest indoor farm show in the U.S. So if you're looking for a hot vacation destination, Naomi, a farm show in Denver in March, I'm sure you want to go.
Ooh, well, I haven't been to Denver. It's on my travel list. So you never know. I might have to make a trip out there. So
You just never know for this year. Now, one more little tidbit, and I took care of this just during the most recent news break, and that was my first Weather and Ag in Focus Assistant Ag Director is going to be joining me. For those who have been following along, for about the last month, I've been asking for applications from students and looking for the start of someone in high school, probably about sophomore age, until about 21, and that's when they age out of 4-H and FFA. I need a new assistant ag director every month, so I need like 12 kids for the next year, and I'm going to have a student join me for a show each month. They're going to be, well, Naomi, they're going to be just like you. They're going to talk about headlines. They're going to help me interview guests and so much more. And my first assistant ag director will be joining me on Monday, December 30th, right in the studio. And that will actually be a student from down in the Fort Ransom area. Her name is Jocelyn Berkland. She's been on before to talk about things that have happened with her FFA chapter down at Enderlin. I'm excited to have Jocelyn joining us.
How fun, and what a great opportunity for these young people to do that. So they're going to have so much fun. They're going to have the time of their life, for sure.
It's going to be a fun day, and I'm excited to give kids the chance to see what it's like to do some things in radio, which, well, let's face it, I didn't ever think I'd be doing some things in radio, so why not give them the chance earlier?
Oh, yes, they're going to have fun. So this will be great for them.
Well, Naomi, did we answer any or all of the questions that you had for today?
Well, friend, I have so many questions like that will go on for years and years. But I have one question before the ending the show here. Now, I know it was dry around the fall time. I'm a little concerned with spring and with precip. So hopefully this is part of Dean's homework. Hopefully we'll get more precipitation as we go along into like March and April. So I'm sure farmers are kind of wondering about that as well.
Well, we had a dry fall ending where even though we weren't terribly wet, we still took off a tremendous corn crop. A lot of our farmers in the region will say we don't have to be soaking wet to have a good crop. And we're hoping that Mother Nature makes it up in a timely fashion, so we get rainfall when we need it. And we'll find out. Thanks to Naomi for joining me today. Folks, don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas is next.